Hello, everyone, and welcome to another Compliance Week News podcast, this time for the week of Monday, July 18th. I'm Matt Kelly, editor of Compliance Week. Today, we are going to talk about audits of vendors and service providers to assure that the companies using those vendors have solid controls over their data. Until recently, those service provider audits were known as a SAS 70 audit. And while plenty of vendors out there tried to pass themselves off as SAS 70 compliant and claimed that such an audit meant that a customer's data was safe in the vendor's hands, SAS 70 audits were actually much less ironclad than that, and they were nowhere near as reliable as public companies would need for their own compliance efforts with the Sarbanes-Oxley Act. But as I said, that was up until recently. We now have a new audit, the SSA 16. Which is a next-generation audit of vendors and service providers that is intended to ease many of the concerns about old SAS 70 audits. And to bring us up to speed on that, we are joined by Douglas Barbin. He is a director at Brightline. That is a CPA firm that has done many SAS 70 audits back in the day and is now working on SSA 16 audits. So, Doug, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
So very first question I have is just maybe if you could outline the key differences between the SAS 70 and the SSA 16 audit. What is new and improved from the perspective of customers who are using the vendors that go out and get these audits?
Sure. So there's probably a handful of items that are new and improved, so to speak. The first and foremost is this is based on an international standard. This whole process of updating the standards came about through an internationalization process whereby the first standard that was published was a standard called ISAE 3402, and it was a new attestation standard meant to bring the concepts of SAS 70, the Canadian equivalent, the European, you know, the various European equivalents under a single international umbrella. From which there the individual country-based CPAs, chartered accountants, whatever certified accountants are called in those particular countries, the professional standards that guide them could then have those standards trickle down to support. So SSA 16 is the U.S. AICPA derivative of ISAE 3402. So the first benefit to everyone is that it truly is an international standard, and there's not as many gaps and alignments as there were when you were comparing SAS 70 to perhaps the Canadian equivalent or to, you know, an equivalent that might be used in the United Kingdom. Mm-hmm. So that's the first benefit. The bigger change is the fact that it used to be SAS 70 was an auditing standard, and SSA 16 is an attestation standard. And while those are very similar from the end user's perspective, or the company that's being audited, you know, the key in an attestation is that management must make an assertion. You're auditing what the company says that they're doing, which, you know, provides some variability when you're dealing with controls that impact financial reporting. Mm-hmm. But basically, you now have this section of the report that's management's assertion of the controls that are in place, of the system that's been designed and implemented and so forth. And so that's a component of the report that wasn't prevalent or wasn't in the SAS 70 audit reports before. It's management making a statement, management putting a stake in the ground in terms of what the controls are and what the system and what the purpose of that is providing. Some of the more subtle changes from an auditing and a reporting perspective have to do with the use of suitable criteria. An auditor has to look and form an opinion as to whether or not the criteria that the company has chosen to base their controls around is appropriate. The other slight nuance or change is that the design of the controls, and again, we're talking about they can be security controls, operational controls, all of the controls that are relevant to the end user's controls over financial reporting. What used to be an auditor would look at that design and would give an opinion, even in a type 2, which is over a period of time, the opinion on the suitability of the design would be as of a point in time. And one nuance is that SSA 16 has extended that. So you have to be able to, as a CPA, and now have to make an opinion that the control design that was in place at the service organization was appropriate and it was in place over the period of time, not just at the at the end of the audit.
Mm-hmm.
Last two items, one, there's a requirement for disclosure of any use to use of internal audit. In some cases, that was happening more often than none. That's never anything that's been of use for the audits that we perform, but there was occasion where other accounting firms would utilize internal audit resources to assist in the data gathering for the SAS 70 report. That's still allowed in certain cases, but it's required to be disclosed. And then the last change, which is not sure as I go as far to say new and improved because it's already created some headaches for a few of our clients, has to do with representation letters. Now, when you do an audit, you always get a representation letter from the client at the end of the audit saying that we have provided the CPA firm all of the information that they require. We have, not made any unfactual statements. You know, X, Y, and Z occurs in that representation letter.
Mm-hmm.
What SSA 16 now requires that SAS 70 did not was if you were using what's referred to as a subservice organization or another service provider, and you were including the controls of those service providers in your report. An example would be if I'm an ASP or a SaaS-based financial transactions application,
yep.
And I host my application at a third-party data center, and I want to include the physical and environmental controls that are responsibility of that third-party data center, I can still do that. However, I need to get a representation letter from that third party stating that that they're responsible for those controls and so forth. And so, we've found through experience that some providers are willing and able to provide a representation letter in those cases. Others, legal counsel and so forth, aren't willing to do so. So that's a big change and something that actually has to be addressed at the onset of the audit. Is that if you're using a third party data center, which happens more often than not these days, a hosting provider is used by an application service provider.
Mm-hmm.
You need to make sure that all of the parties in play are on board if you want to go that route. Otherwise, you would not necessarily include those controls in the report.
Now, let me ask about who actually pays for the SSA 16 audit to be done, because I know one complaint about SAS 70 audits was that usually the vendor itself was paying for these audits, and that left a fair number of people asking questions about whether you could really trust the inherent validity of a SAS 70 report that a vendor had gone out and paid for one itself. What's the status of this with the SSA 16?
Well, it's still the case. I mean, I guess my question back, I think that's a fair statement to make. My question back would be, who does actually pay? Who would pay in the case where the service provider is not the one paying
mm-hmm.
for the audit? Because these audits are designed to be shared audits. These audits are designed to be shared across multiple customers. You know, in a case where one particular company wanted to pay an independent firm to undergo an audit simply for the purposes of that company alone, that would be referred to as an agreed-upon procedures or some other sort of focused audit. An SSA 16, like a SAS 70 audit, was designed to be a shared audit when you have a single service provider who has multiple customers, because the substitute would be, if that wasn't the case, all of those customers would need to audit that service provider as part of their financial statement audit.
I'm sorry to interrupt, but I think this is an important point, so I just want to make sure that we're all clear. There was always a lot of confusion about whether a SAS 70 audit for a vendor could be relied upon by multiple customers. But an SSA 16 audit, that can be done by a vendor generally, and that would therefore be usable by multiple customers and multiple industries with multiple needs. It has that sort of flexibility?
Yeah, actually SAS 70 was the same. SAS 70 was a shared audit as well. SAS 70 came up through the online payroll type of world, where you had a company like ADP that performed payroll services for hundreds, if not, well, now obviously thousands of customers, right?
Mm-hmm.
So in the case of that, payroll is relevant to every company's financial statements. And so the choices were when this first started coming about and things were, outsourcing was starting to increase and so forth, ADP could participate in the audits of each and every one of its customers, which would, all but halt business, or they could go through a single audit, a SAS 70 audit, and then they could share that report with the auditors of their customers. So SAS 70 was always a shared audit. It was never meant to be a one-to-one type of audit. Like I said, those are generally referred to as agreed-upon procedures audits, which are not nearly as common. Or, you know, you could obviously engage on somewhat of a custom basis to go against a specific set of criteria. But these were always designed to be shared audits.
Okay. I know a lot of people will make the connection that the way a public company worries about internal controls for Section 404 of the Sarbanes-Oxley Act, that they might think, okay, so an SSA 16 is kind of like a SOX 404 audit for an IT vendor I'm using. Is that a fair way to characterize it if people are perceiving it like that?
It's somewhat, from a scope perspective, it's somewhat fair. The SAS 70 Type 2, and as well as with the SSA 16 Type 2, is allowed to be relied on by a financial auditor for SOX 404.
Okay.
So what that means, same thing with the ADP scenario. If you're outsourcing to a particular company and the company and the publicly traded company itself is going through their annual SOX 404 audit, and they outsource, you know, whether it's payroll, benefits, you know, you name it, hosting to a particular third party that has some relevance to their financial reporting, then a Type 2 SSA 16 can be utilized by those auditors. So basically the same scenario, they would not have to go out and visit the location and physically audit that third party themselves. But the important distinction is that Sarbanes-Oxley makes distinction between a Type 1 and a Type 2. A Type 1 audit is a point-in-time audit. A Type 2 audit is over a period of time that requires testing of the controls over a period of time. Mm-hmm. So for any 404 to rely on it for 404 work, it has to be a Type 2, which makes sense if you think about it, because a 404 audit for Sarbanes-Oxley is about financial reporting over a period of time as well. So you wouldn't be talking apples to apples if you had a point in time audit that you were integrating with a period of time audit.
And we have a minute or two left here. So is there any other key points about the SSA 16 audit that compliance officers and internal auditors should be keeping in mind?
Sure. You referenced it in the beginning in the introduction to the podcast. You talked about people incorrectly calling them certifications or relying upon them for security audits and security blankets, so to speak. And I think the number one thing is a reminder that, you know, like SAS 70, SSA 16 is not a security audit. You know, it usually includes security controls along with operational processing application specific controls, but it's not a security audit. The AICPA has introduced some additional topics and or products or different umbrellas to categorize these. They call them the SOC reports, SOC 1, 2, and 3. SOC 1 is SSA 16. SOC 3 is what was previously a SysTrust report. And SOC 2 is somewhat in the middle, where it takes the principles from a SysTrust report and puts it into more of a detailed report. That's the AICPA's answer to people that want a security audit that maybe don't qualify for an SSA 16, because to qualify for an SSA 16, you really have to have that tie to controls over financial reporting.
Mm-hmm.
That said, there's obviously other opportunities for security, other alternatives, other mechanisms for security audits as well, such as ISO certification and things like that. So it's just that reminder that it's not designed to be a security audit, that there are different approaches and angles to address that component as well.
All right. Well, Doug, that's all the time we have today, but you covered plenty of ground for us, so thank you very much for your time.
Thank you as well.
Again, everybody, that was Doug Barbin of the auditing firm Brightline. He was talking with us today about the new SSA 16 audit of vendors and service providers. For more information on those audits, you can always visit the AICPA's website or our own at complianceweek.com and look up the topic on our archives. That is all for this week's podcast. I'm Matt Kelly of Compliance Week. Thank you all for listening, and I hope you'll join us again next time.